privilege to be here this morning with you all. Such a joy for me. Beautiful. I love this as my pulpit, a place that we can come to. It's not a place that we just receive from. It's a place that we can come to. There we go. Kids in the kitchen. All right. That's beautiful. So, let me just get rid of this and this here. I just want to set your hearts this morning. All right, we'll get the sound sorted out in a moment. I'm using a different sound thing, you know. No mic. This is it. My little fluffy friend here in my pocket is peeking out, having a look at you guys, seeing what you're up to. So, this morning I want to share with you about a man after my heart. And not my heart, but God's heart. Those are words that God spoke as a testimony over David's life. I have found a man after my heart. A man after my heart. And really it's a question that we need to ask of ourselves this morning and say, God, am I a man, am I a woman after your heart? And it is a space that we need to open ourselves to. And say, God, maybe there is a time this morning that I need to just put my 5-rand coin in and see what comes out. Get ready and be prepared for something that God wants to do with your life. We cannot stay static. We cannot stay static. We cannot stay. Am I standing in the wrong place, Mike?
No, it just picks up from the main speaker.
It's picking up from the main speaker. Would you prefer me to use the mic, the hand mic? Okay.
You're better.
Okay. Let's use the hand mic. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting this feedback. We don't often use this, but I think we want to get used to the idea, the possibility of not having, doing a hands-free preach. Hands-free preach works. There we go. But yeah, I'm ready for it, whichever way it goes. Because I really believe that God is wanting to do something special to us. There's an expectation in my heart. An expectation of not only for now, but for into our future, something more than just where we are. Because we can get easy, and we've had some weeks of wonderful times just having other congregations come in and visit us. But this morning, it's us. It's us. We have a few visitors with us, and thank you for coming. It just makes it a little nicer just to have someone to say something else to say to you. But it's such a joy for me this morning to speak to us as Azerfontein, as Azer, a church that God has called us together, that God has set us up for a time such as this. It is a time such as this. We may not feel it, and we may not have great expectations for. We're coming to the end of the year. You know, the end of the year is kind of like that place that we just start taking a little dip. And there's good reasons for it. Not to say that you're naughty or you're otherwise, but it is an opportunity that God is using to set us up for what He has planned and purpose. And sometimes we need to be quiet before the Lord. Sometimes we just need to set our hearts in a place and say, God, what do you want to do with my life? Or is this my destiny? Have I reached my cap space? Have I reached my ceiling? Or is there more? And I believe there is more if we can find ourselves in the place where we are a man or a woman after God's heart. What would that mean and how would it work? So here we are this morning again, back at the table. A table that He has set before us in the presence of His enemies. And you may think that's a weird way to start a meeting. It's a weird way to think about it. That God would do this in the presence of your enemies. But I need you to understand that we have enemies. We have enemies, and even if you weren't aware of it, the day that you celebrate this table in heaven, the day that you celebrate this time when you come before the Lord, you'll have your enemies seated around you, and you'll know that you've been in a fight. You'll know somewhere that you've been in a fight, and I don't think there's a single person here this morning that can walk away from this place and say, I don't have enemies. And sometimes we think our enemies are outside of us, but sometimes the enemy is inside of us. And we've had word from Gerard when he spoke a couple of weeks ago, speaking about lies. It's an enemy within us. And it tears at our spirits, and it tears at our hearts, and it brings ceilings over our lives. And it caps us into a place where we don't want to be, and we don't want to live out of that space. We don't want to, but we do, because we're captivated, or we've become captive to a lie within our spirit. But God wants to set us free. And maybe this morning, and I really want to encourage you, I brought some oil this morning. It's not my regular, I've got a little bottle with oil, anointing oil. It's baby oil, just by the way. So if you are allergic to baby oil, you don't have to use it. But I wouldn't mind this morning if every single one of us were anointed with oil for the purpose that God has set us up for. There's something of what God wants to do in our lives that is more than just who we are. Sometimes we get stuck just in that place. I'm just who I am. I can't be any different. You can, because there's more in God. So don't limit yourself to where you are. Allow God to do it. So we'll have a time of sharing around the table. And I was in two minds whether we should do it now or after the meeting. But let's take, when I say after the meeting, after I've preached or shared with you. So let's take it into that space. And there is going to be oil. And I'm going to invite you. And there are many places where God uses oil to anoint something, to set it apart for himself. And that's what I'm asking. God, would you set this group of people apart for yourself? Would you put your stamp upon us? Would you put your seal upon us for some purpose and plan that you have ordained for us? That we don't just sit back and become part of a pew. That we're just part of a thing or a system. We're actually called by God to represent him in our town, in our city. All right, I must do something else. So I want to talk to you about David. So just give me a moment. That's what I need. This one came out of Asia, by the way. It's one of our rocks, somewhere in the beach. I wrote it especially for us. Okay. So we may have a giant that's exclusive to Asia. And I'll put this here as a remembrance for us. That if there's a fight to fight and we need to use this rock, we're going to use it. Because we're going to be like David. We're going to have a heart like David. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And we're going to get it right. But five stones represented something of a story that you and I can carry, that we can actually carry that, because the very testimony that we're talking about today is the testimony of David, the one who actually bore the witness and the testimony from God's heart alone to say to him, you're a man after my heart. Is it exclusive? Do you think it's exclusive? Do you think it's a one-off? Do you think he was favored by God in any special way? Do you think you're any different to what God calls? That God calls special or precious to him? That Jesus Christ died for each one of us. Each one of us. Whoever we may think we are and whoever we desire to be in the Lord. But our desire for me, my desire for you this morning, is that we'll find that place that we carry the heart of God, that we do everything that God wants. Do you know that God, Jesus Christ, is not only our Savior, but he's our Lord? And that means something. It means something that may cost us. It may cost us making a decision about our lives and about the things that we do and the things that we're holding on to. But let us obey. Let us obey. And be one of those that are counted, that we carry the heart of our God, because we do everything that he called us to do.
So you can put up that scripture from Acts 13:22. Acts 2, there it is, up there. Good, thanks. Thanks, Bodine. And when God removed him, that is Saul, he raised up David to be the king, of whom he testified, God testified. He gave evidence, and he said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all of my will. Wow. I think it's a very scary statement to make, to do all of my will. Because sometimes we can actually enjoy our comfortable space of doing just enough to make it look good, or just enough to be able to walk across the line. Let me tell you, friends, I don't want us to get, we've just seen in the last couple of weeks, our brother-in-law passed away. When was it? Monday? Thursday, passed away. So sorry, sister, not too long ago. Our time's coming, guys. Don't like to talk about it. Our time's coming. There'll be a day and a time, and sometimes we don't know. We can't plan it. None of us can actually pull out a book and say, that's the date. That's where I'm going to go. But when I go, I want this to be my testimony. If you want to write anything on my gravestone, I don't know if I want stones over my grave. But if you wanted to write anything over it, a man after God's heart, that's all I want. A man after God's heart. Because that bears testimony of something that makes God happy, that makes God, it pleases God. It will give God something to brag about and boast about. And here he's boasting about a son that he called. And if you look into the story of David, you will even be surprised at where he came from and where he came from. But let's take another scripture from 1 Samuel 16. That's how God chooses. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. And he was talking about the other sons of Jesse. I have rejected him, for the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You'll probably hear a lot of my heart speak about the heart, because that is a place that God dwells and lives and moves in me. He lives in my heart. We often say, you give your heart to Jesus. That's exactly what it's about. You give your heart to Jesus. You don't give him your brain, but sometimes your brain gets in the way. But it's a heart, and it's not a fleshy heart that is just tucked inside of your body, but it is, and it isn't. But there's more to it, and I know it's an important aspect of our life, that God looks upon our heart. And then 1 Samuel 16, a little further into 1 Samuel 11. Samuel came to anoint a future king. The king, Saul, that the people had chosen, had actually given himself to disobedience. To disobedience, a small thing. And when he did that, God took his kingdom away from him. Think about it. God took his kingdom away from him because he chose disobedience above what God had called him to do. But then Samuel comes at the request of God to go and anoint a king, to go specifically to the house of Jesse. And there are eight sons there. There are eight sons there. And here we are. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all these your sons? And Samuel said, There remains the youngest. It may sound a very easy way to describe your young son in the house, But the Hebrew word for youngest in this particular context is the unworthy one. That's a Hebrew word. The unworthy one is in the field looking after the sheep. The worthy ones are here. Choose one of them, my sons. They're all strong men. They are strong and powerful, and they can do a lot of things. And God says, I don't need that. I don't need their strength. I don't need their brains. I don't need their brawn. I don't need anything about them. I look at their hearts, and I don't like what I see in their hearts. Is there another son? Yes, there's one. The not worthy one. The not worthy one. The reject. The reject. We may ask the question, why was he a reject? And I'm not going to elaborate too much on the story, but I want to tell you this. You don't know the name of the mother of David, do you? Anybody? Not in Scripture. Not in Scripture. But maybe there will be a word just to encourage us and to help us and understand where it came from. But it may be that he was a forbidden son, that he was a son of a servant, or a son of an illegitimate relationship between Jesse and this other person. And that is why her name is not mentioned in Scripture. Not that she is not important, but for the voice of Scripture and for what God is saying to us, it is important for us to know. And maybe that's where some of us have started, unworthy ones, not really wanted, not really born with purpose, that we're just as somebody that was put out there. And there are many stories sitting around here this morning that may reflect on something of the unworthy one. But God chose him because he saw in him the potential of a heart that would please him, a heart that would do everything that he wanted that person to do and live by. And God is looking over this assembly this morning, this congregation. And I believe this without a shadow of a doubt in my life or my heart, that God chose you because of your heart. That today you have a heart that can bear the same witness as that God found in David, a man after his own heart. God is in the detail of your life, every single detail. You can go into the story of David and you'll find not only this story, the story of his selection out of 8 brothers, that he became the one that was chosen to be king. And that's all Samuel did that day. He came there, he anointed him and left. I'm sure the family was gobsmacked. What was that about? The man came, he came, he didn't even tell us why he came. He didn't even tell us that he was going to anoint a king. He came here to anoint someone. And when a prophet walks into your house to anoint someone, then you know there's purpose and plan. But he left without giving him a message. And so they walked away, and David ran back to the field to look after his sheep. And for years, he looked after sheep. And there's a lot of the story, and I don't have to try and elaborate on the story of David. You'll read in chapter after chapter in the Old Testament of what David did and where David came from and what David experienced, and a lot of that. And some of it is even hidden from us. We don't even know. And you remember the story quite well of the 5 stones that he went and he picked up. You remember that story. And we love that story. It was one of the best Sunday school stories that we ever heard, to see the giant fall to the ground. And it just took one stone. Just one stone. One stone. But the message behind that one stone was this: you will not challenge the God of Israel. I'm going to chop your head off. And if there's something that we've got to deal with today, friends, let's chop the head off. Let's get the head off. The only way that you can prove that the enemy is dead is if you've got his head. I heard that from someone and I thought that's a good way to say it. If you want to know if your enemy is dead, then get his head. And maybe this morning that some of us need to actually get the head of our giants. the things that stand between us and what God wants to do in a nation, in a city, in your town, in your home. Let's get the head and hold it up as a witness that he is dead, that he's been dealt with this morning. And so we'll come to the place where we can anoint ourselves or have someone anoint you. Because it's important that we find this place. And you don't have to. I don't want to force any of you into that space. For whatever reason. You may be afraid. If God actually anoints you for something, he may challenge you and bring you out into a place that you, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Let me tell you this, my friends, I'm never ready when it comes to the things of God. Because God always surprises me. He takes me in places where I don't know if I'd go there on my own. I don't know if I'd go there on my own. So if you look at David, beautiful stories. This King David, he loved God. This King David, he knew God. This King David obeyed God. This King David lived in the shadow of the Almighty of his God. He loved God's word. He loved God's word even when God's word spoke to him. And even when God's word broke him, he loved God's word and he honored God's word. Is that not something of a reflection of the heart of David? And should we not read into that a little more than what we read to know and understand that this is the kind of heart? You see, with it, this can be a decoration. A church can become a decoration to your life. Giving your life to the Lord can be just, I've raised my hand, I've done my thing, I'm ready for heaven. And God said, I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I don't just want you to be ready for heaven. Because in heaven, he only has sons and daughters. And how important is that place for us to be? So David wrote many psalms. And I want to encourage you in the weeks to come, go and read the psalms. Go and read the psalms and find them. There's at least 70-odd psalms that David wrote. And go and read those psalms specifically. And you'll begin to find something of the heart of David that you never perhaps saw before. There was always the presence of an enemy in David's psalms. Somewhere along the line, he was fighting a something or a somebody. And sometimes it was in his own heart that he was fighting, but he was fighting an enemy. He was putting his enemy down. And friends, the same heart that took David to the place where he killed Goliath to get his head, those psalms were psalms that he was reaching out to God and saying, God, I want to get the head and bring it to you as a victory. You are not going to challenge. You're not going to allow them to challenge our lives. David made a lot of bad choices. He made some mistakes. So you say, well, how can that be a man that God loves? And made some really bad choices. This guy, you wouldn't like him to be your neighbor. I promise you that. He may have stolen your wife. I'm laughing about it, but it wasn't a funny thing. It was something that David did. He took someone's wife. And then he went and killed the husband just to make him look good so that nobody would find out. But as the story goes, sin will always find you out. And he couldn't hide it. And when finally it did come out, what did David do? And say, it's not me. I'm the king. I'm allowed to do these things. I'm allowed to be on the rooftop when I should be out at the war field. I'm allowed to do these things. But the moment he heard those words, you the man, he repented before the Lord. Oh God, come back. I'm going to read a psalm in a moment, Psalm 51. Let's just go there for now. Psalm 51. It's a psalm that David wrote shortly after he had sinned and been found out. Yeah, in verse 3. Did I give that to you? I didn't. All right, don't worry. Let's go down to verse 10. I'll go there. All right. The whole psalm speaks about of his repentance. But here in verse 10 he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That's why God loved his heart. He didn't run from, he ran to. He ran to his God. I said I'd remind you of something that may help you to understand that he was the unworthy one. It is in Psalm 51. And it says this: surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. That's a reference to the fact that he was born in sin. It's not a theology that he's proclaiming here. It is a reality that he is proclaiming. He was born in sin. He didn't belong. Let me move on this morning so that we can actually get to a point. So what are the things that I found in David's heart? The five things, and I used five things because they will be challenged. Every one of these things will be challenged by a giant. Every one of these things will have an enemy against it, opposed to it. The test of obedience, the thing that's what I found in David's heart, obedience. It is not optional, it's a command. Obedience is a command, so when God says something, he means it. You as a parent would demand that of your child, and that would be classified as obedience. And our Father calls upon us at times to do things that we may not really like to do or want to do at the time or the moment. But he calls us to that obedience. So I find in David a heart of obedience, wherever he was, whatever he was fighting, wherever he was going to. I found in David's heart trust, also a command that will be tested. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a command. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? Don't miss that part. All of your heart. Trust in the Lord, all of your heart. It's a test that I face every single time I preach. Every single time I do things for God in any way or form or fashion. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean onto your own understanding. You know what? I think the thing that we often struggle with is our strength. And I've built a lot of strength in the Lord over the years. The strength of God. It builds reputation, gives you reputation. People look to me for wisdom. They look to me for strength. They look to me for courage, for the ability to say something about God. But the very strengths that I have will be tested time and again, because the strength I have is not mine, it's his. The courage I have is not mine, it's his. The ways that I have, or the wisdom that I have, is not mine, it is his wisdom. And I cannot hide behind my words and say, I have said a great thing. It is the Lord who gives me wisdom. It is the Lord who gives me strength. It is the Lord who carries me through. I don't stand here as a witness of a great man. I stand here as a witness of man who's dependent on his God. Like David, who loves God in spite of who he was and how many times he had failed. His God still remained his God. Trust, obedience, love. Your love for God will be tested time and time again. A test of David, but he came back with the words, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. What a joy to be able to read the Psalms and listen to a heart of a man that God bragged about. Listen to the heart of that man. Let me go on and say humility. Repentance, something that came very quickly to David. It wasn't like he still dilly-dallied around and tried to find a way or an excuse. He was a king. He was one of the greatest kings. The Bible says he was one of the greatest kings of Israel. The greatest. In fact, he was in the lineage of Jesus. David. That God would choose David. That through the lineage of David, Jesus would be born. Oh, man. I don't understand God, and you don't have to. You don't have to understand God. You don't have to understand God's ways. Learn to obey Him. Learn to trust Him. Learn to do the things. Be humble before Him. Humble yourself before the Lord. It's a command. Humble yourself before the Lord. You ask for strength, humble yourself before the Lord. And the last big thing that I found in David is the lordship of Jesus. The lordship of his God. The kingship of his God. Although David was a king, he never stood in the way of the king of his life. He never took the glory for the king. When he fought a battle, even the battle with the giants, the king. I come to you in the name of the King. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Today I will cut off your head. Not I will cut it off, but the Lord. Through the Lord I will do this great thing. The lordship. The Bible says this, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There will be a day that you will say this, the Lord, He is God. And Him alone. So what happens to our hearts? Oh, sometimes it just, we go off the track. We miss it. We become angry. We become lonely. When you're angry, you miss things with God. You make stupid mistakes. You do stupid things. When you're lonely, you're isolated. That's when David made his sin. It's one of his big sins. When he was isolated, cut off from his men. Despair, fear, shame, regret, lies, confidence in the flesh. All of these things can distress our hearts to a place where we don't trust Him. We're not obeying, that we are not following Him, that we are not loving Him, that we are not humble before Him. All of these things come before us. I would say this morning, we need a radical heart, a radical love, a radical trust, a radical obedience. When you say radical, what is that? It's the unusual aspect. It's the unusual aspect. It's something outside of the norm. It's something outside of what everybody expects. That's radical. Follow Christ. Be radical. Worship. Be radical. We serve a living God. Radical. I'm going to close there. So I want us to spend some time around the table this morning. This